Part 3. Ningabian, West. In the western direction, the journey focuses on the ripened berries and the harvest, a time of constant change. Chapter 45. I love camping. The smoky scent fills the air and burrows into fabric, hair, and skin. Hold on. It's camping, but mixed with stale air. A closed-up, musty space. My head throbs with my heartbeats. More smells. Musky sweat and a nearby piss pot. I strain to open one eyelid, like breaking the crusty bond of a meningue eye. Thin rectangles of orange light come from a wood stove across a small room. The light flickers, casting faint orange stripes against the walls and curved ribs. I blink both eyes in slow motion, trying to focus on my surroundings. It's an old aluminum trailer with a rounded ceiling and only one window, the kind people use as powwow food vendor trucks. Art calls them canned hams. I lift my head, or try to. The trailer spins like a centrifuge. Donis. I jerk my head at the sound of Jamie's voice. He sounds like he caught a cold. But it's my head that feels foggy. He repeats my name. Each one pulses inside my skull. Donis. 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 My groans form a word. Stop. Are you okay? What did they do to you? Jamie's breath is sour. He tries wrapping me in his arms, but something about being held makes my heart race. Don't. I push him away. Your breath reeks. We're kidnapped, in a trailer somewhere, but my bad breath is what's bothering you? Even Jamie's soft laughter has a stuffed-up nasal tone. Kidnapped. Trailer. I pop up. Ow, I say, vision blurring from the fireworks in my head. Once it clears, I look around the trailer, which is gutted inside. Just a wood stove, a card table, some metal folding chairs, and the squeaky bed I'm in. How long have I been here? Why are you here too? The guys came by last night as I parked in my driveway. I thought Levi found out you punched me and he wanted to kick my ass for whatever I did to deserve it. The memory of my fist smashing his nose catches up with me, followed by why I did it. There's just enough light from the wood stove to see the raccoon-like bruising around Jamie's eyes. Two black eyes from a broken nose. I did deserve it, Donis. Ron shouldn't have been the only one getting you up to speed on that first drive to Marquette. You had a right to know, before you agreed to pose as my girlfriend, that I was the one who had the idea of us posing as a couple. But I swear that was before I got to know you, when you were just a person in a case file, and I thought taking the initiative might help my career. It takes more effort than my groggy synapses can handle to fully process his words. Jamie takes my silence as his cue to keep talking. Levi dropped by, but he seemed happy, not mad. He invited me to Mike's party and then asked about my nose. I was thinking of an explanation when Mike tasered me. They must have stuck a needle of something in me because I woke up here this morning. He glances at his watch. It's just after 8 p.m. You've been here 6 hours. Wisps of memories come back. T, Harry, Dana. She drugged me with something. It must have been that date rape drug. The name swims through the cloudiness. Rohypnol. Did Dana say anything when she brought me here? My voice shakes as rage breaks through the roofy haze. Levi's mom is involved? Jamie is taken aback. Donis, a guy in a snowmobile helmet that covered his face carried you over his shoulder. He dumped you inside the door before tasering me. I couldn't move. That's when he shackled your leg to the bed frame. Shackled? I move each leg. There's a heavy clanking with my left one. Dana didn't bring me here? Then who else is part of this? Jamie's still talking. It takes effort to focus on his story. Removed the taser barbs and threw a log in the wood stove, 5 minutes tops. memories form, unless I'm creating mental images to fit a story. What did you do to her? Answer me, you... Jamie's voice from a foggy dream. I was on the floor and you swore at someone? Good. You remember, Jamie says. It was right before he tasered me. Was it Grant Edwards? My eyes dart around the trailer before I scramble to look under the bed. Upside down, my head feels like someone is using it as a drum. I never saw his eyes, but he was the right size, I suppose. I flinch at Jamie's hand on my arm as I return to a sitting position. Hey, you're okay. No one's here, Donis. There's a seed of disquiet in his voice. Avoiding Jamie's probing gaze, I focus on the distorted memories coming back to me. I was in a truck with Dana. The fairy horn sounded overhead. She laughed when I asked for Seyma to make an offering. A shiver runs through me. I meet Jamie's eyes. My mom will call my aunt. They'll look for me and contact the police. When they try reaching you, Ron will tell them you're missing too, and that he's been looking for you. He is? You talk to him? Why isn't he here with backup? Jamie eyeballs the door, expecting Ron to bust in. He texted this afternoon and asked if I had any contact with you since last night. That can't be. Jamie looks confused. Ron should be getting a tracking signal from my watch. He holds up his wrist. Really? I say, impressed that his watch is a James Bond gadget. Yeah, through satellites. My location coordinates are relayed to the FBI. Satellites. I hold up my hand to silence him. Assess the problem. We're trapped inside a trailer on Sugar Island. The rusty bed frame creaks when I rise. A wave of nausea and more centrifuge pile onto my headache. Jamie is at my side in an instant with steady arms. He held me like this on the dance floor, leading while protecting my shoulder. It was just last night. How is that possible? A lifetime of bad things have happened since then. Thanks. I break away. The heavy chain is a tether. I get as far as the card table in front of the window. Are you...
Shh.
I interrupt. I'm listening. We stand absolutely still, listening for any sounds beyond the window. Gentle waves lap a nearby shore. What do you hear, Jamie? Uncle David taught me to avoid leading questions. Otherwise, you steer the responses to what you hope to hear.
Waves, he confirms. I've heard them since I woke up.
What can you tell me about the wave pattern? It feels good to think like a scientist.
They're just small waves, Donis.
If we're on the west shore, any freighters passing by will generate a... My mind goes blank on what it's called when those ripples hit the shore. I hate this brain fog.
A Kelvin wake? Jamie offers. Like Friday night at the breakwall?
Yes, like that, I say. The bigger the ship, the bigger the wake. Did you hear any change in the waves? Depending on freighter traffic, it could take hours for a ship to go past.
Why does it matter which side?
His voice trails off. I witness the awful moment when the answer gut punches Jamie.
Cliffs and caves.
His voice is a sinking anchor in the deepest part of Lake Superior.
You said the east side of Sugar Island is all cliffs and caves. You can't get any cell phone signals except near the ferry or the north end. Satellites can't pick up GPS signals through stone, cement, or water.
The despondent look in his eyes leaves me completely rattled. He's a grown adult, 22 years old, a cop. Yet somehow, I am the less terrified person in this trailer, the one who will say out loud what we both need to hear. The FBI doesn't know where we are, Jamie. They think you're dead in the water, like Heather. Ron's not coming.